The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
That's good. Thank you so much. Wasn't that good? Take your Bible and go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Look at verse 11. The Bible says, lest Satan should get an advantage. Okay, now what is an advantage? An advantage could be one time. You know, the Bible says, neither give place to the devil. It says, neither give place to the devil. All right? Now, I want you to think about that word advantage for just a moment when it talks about an advantage. When it's talking about an advantage, all Satan needs in your life is just one opportunity. That's all he needs. He says to neither give place to the devil. So here's what the devil is trying to do in your life today to ruin your family. He's looking for one place, one opportunity, just one individual event whereby he could ruin you for the rest of the days of your life. Now here's what the Bible says. The Bible says, lest Satan should get an advantage of us. So it's not just you that he's after. He is after all those that name the name of Christ. For we are not ignorant of his devices. All right, so he said, you know that he doesn't care for you. You know that he doesn't like you. You know that he doesn't have your best interest at heart. And so what he's trying to do is he's looking for one little foothold. He's looking for just one opportunity. He's looking for an advantage point in your life to be able to put his foot in your place whereby he ruins you. Now here's what the Bible says. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 5 and in verse 8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. So what he's trying to do is he's trying to devour you. Now, by the way, he can do that by devouring your testimony. He can do that by devouring your steadfastness in Christ. He can do that by devouring your faith, whereby you have a great desire one day to step out, do something great for God, but yet he has devoured your faith in such a way that that desire to do something great for God is now less than it ever was before. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 and 11, finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord, and then the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. An old adage is this, to be forewarned is to be forearmed. To be forewarned is to be forearmed. So if we are forewarned in the Bible about this one that is our adversary, about the one, and by the way, may I tell you something? We don't come to church at Parkside Baptist Church to play games. We don't come to church at Parkside Baptist Church because it's just another day on Sunday where we come together for a religious activity. May I tell you, when you come to church at Parkside Baptist Church, this is a place where you're going to get the whole counsel of God. And by the way, sometimes when the preacher gets up and the preacher preaches, he may step on your toes a little bit, and he may sit in your lap a little bit, and he may spit in your eyeball just a little bit, but I want to tell you, sometimes you need stuff like that to be able to help you. Now understand what the Bible's saying this morning. The Bible's saying that the devil wants to get an advantage of you. How many times have I met people out while knocking doors and visiting in the community, and not just our community, but in other cities? We have people that drive here for an hour away. We have one dear man that drives here for over an hour away, comes to all the services, and is very faithful in the house of God right here at Parkside Baptist Church. Now, wait a minute. Watch this, though. So I don't want to waste his time, and I don't want to waste your time. I don't care if you just drove from around the corner. I don't care if you drove from across the other side of Dallas. When we come together to open the Word of God, oh, I do pray and I do hope that we get something out of the Bible that will strengthen us and help us to be able to go back and to be able to do a greater service for Jesus Christ. Now, here's what we understand. We understand that we have an adversary. We understand that that adversary is the devil. We understand that that adversary that is the devil is looking for just an advantage in your life. A place to get you discouraged, a place to get you off track. And by the way, as I started to say, how many times have I been out visiting in this community and other communities where I knock on a door and here's what the person said, I used to go to church. I used to go to church. And you say, well, how long ago was that? How long ago did you used to go to church? And they would say, well, I got out of the habit 2 years ago, 3 years ago, 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 20 years ago. What do you mean you got out of the habit? Wait, let me tell you what got them out of the habit. Satan found a place to get an advantage over them. And all of a sudden, now they come back to church, and you meet them out here in the lobby area, and you say, hey, how was church? And here's what I hear every single time where somebody comes back to God. Here's what they say. They say, it is good to be back. You know why? Because when you're around God's people, when you're around the preaching of the Word of God, when you're around the teaching of the Word of God, there's something about the Holy Spirit of God that's alive in you today that bears witness with the Spirit of truth, and now you feel good. You know, I was talking to a man out here the other day, and he said, preacher, that was just great preaching. You stepped all over me. And I said, well, I don't understand. You said that's great preaching and stepped all over you. He said, yes, but it felt good. Now, how is it that you can step all over somebody and it feel good? Let me tell you how, because your spirit bears witness with the Holy Spirit of God through that which is the truth of God. And when all that lines up, hey, somebody can tell you the truth and you know that God loves you, you know that that person loves you, you know that that Bible is true, and because of that, it will change your life forevermore. Now, how is it this morning that we can overcome Satan's summer devices? Well, first off, he says we're not ignorant of them. So don't pretend that they're not there. Be aware that they are alive. Be aware that they are devices that he uses. Be aware that he is your adversary. He is not your friend. He is not the one that you say, well, and our society is so watered down nowadays. I'm telling you, it used to be a day when the man of God would get up and preach and people would not get offended, people would get right. Amen. Nowadays, here's the way people go to church. Are you ready for this? Nowadays, people go to church and they go to church and they're looking for a church that will be in their comfort zone. You don't need to go to a church that is your comfort zone. Why? Because church ought not to be a nightclub, but church ought to be a place where the Word of God is lifted up and preached. And I would not give a nickel for a guy that would not get up and tell you the truth. Hey, I let God be true and every man a liar. And we need some old-fashioned preaching in churches across America if we ever want God's people to get right with God and stay right with God. The pulpits need to be on fire again. Now, I'm saying this. I'm saying we understand that we have an adversary. I don't want him to hurt you. How many times do I go into houses and a mama is crying and she's saying, but my son that used to be is not anymore. How many times do I see marriages going through tragedy and they're being destroyed? And but here's what takes place. We come to a church and you got a man of God that loves you enough to tell you the truth, but your flesh doesn't like it. And we're so used to abiding by the flesh that here's what we do. We say, I'm going to go and find a church that doesn't step on my toes. I'm going to go and find a church that is just real soft because after all, I don't like being offended. Well, if you're offended in Christ, so be it. But we need to be able, how in the world are you ever going to be challenged to live right if you go to a church that all it's doing is making you feel loved and making, now I'm for feeling loved. I like to feel loved. I like for somebody to come up and say, boy, that was a great sermon. I like that. I like for some of you guys to get a holy unction about you from time to time and shout amen on a Sunday morning. Now, I like that. It at least shows whose side you're on. All right, but now wait a minute. What are some of the things that we could understand about Satan's devices for the summer? Statement number one, understand that he is one of deception. He is one of deception. goes all the way back to the garden. Listen to it. Genesis chapter 3, verses 3 through 5, where the Bible says this. But of the fruit of the tree, which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die, for God doth know. He said, you got to understand, God really knows this, and I know God better than you know God, and so let me tell you what God knows that you don't know. But that's how come we have a Bible. Because if Satan comes to you and says, well, let me tell you, it's not all that bad, you always go back to the Bible. You always go back to that which is the truth. And here's what the Bible says. The Bible says Satan is speaking here to Eve in the garden, for God doth know that in the day that ye eat thereof, that your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Now, what he did not tell her is the wages of sin is still death. What he did not tell her is the soul that sinneth shall surely die. He did not tell her that there is an end result of being that one that will partake of something that God strictly said, don't do it. No, what he did is he tried to soft coat it. He tried, I'm telling you, if we would have churches around America and churches across the land that just decided, hey, I thank God for teachers. I thank God for those that get up and teach. But I'm telling you, what's going to change our country is for preachers to get that old-fashioned backbone again and to get up and to preach the Bible the way God said to preach the Bible, and God can change the families. But here's what happens. You see here that there is a deception. Christopher Columbus, I was amazed when I read some studies on him. It was during that first voyage west in 1492. His crew was a little bit shaky. They were a little bit quaky. They were a little bit uneasy about taking that voyage. And so he kept two logs. One of the logs in there showed that they were only traveling so many miles a day, and it was short. That's the log that he showed his men, the crew. The other was a log that he kept in his private quarters that showed what he thought was the actual miles that they were traveling. He recorded in his personal journal, he said, the reason I showed them that the log that I had said we only traveled the short amount of miles because I wanted them to feel secure only being that far away from home. Rather than being somebody that was distant from home because they might quake. Come to find out, when they did a study on that which was his deception that he gave to the men, the shorter log was more right than the longer log. So when Satan tries to do some deception on you, realize that what he is showing you might not be exactly true, but sometimes it comes pretty close to the truth. He's not going to take and distort it so far that it quakes you. But he's going to allow a little bit of that truth in there. And he might be pretty accurate, but I don't want to follow somebody that's pretty accurate. I want to follow somebody that is correct. Completely accurate. So understand, here's what Satan's going to do over the summertime. Satan will try to deceive you. We knocked on a door. Brother Aaron was my partner almost all day long yesterday. And we knocked on the door. We were out soul winning, and I don't know. It was in the morning time when he went with me, and we knocked on a man's door, and the man came to the door, and we were able to talk. And after a period of time, this man bowed his heart, 63, 64, something like that, bowed his heart. And by the way, Brother Craig, great job today in your senior saints class. All-time record of 29. Woo! This man's a senior saint, and he said this. He said, now look, he said, I need to come to a church like that. He said, I'd like to go to a church where I feel loved. And he said, I'm going to visit sometime. Now, wait a minute. Watch this, if you will. I'm saying this. I'm saying that we have to be careful to present ourselves for who we really are. You don't have to apologize for anything. I knocked on his door, and he came to the door, and he started to shut the door. I said, whoa, 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 whoa. I'm not a Jehovah's Witness. And he said, oh, well, okay. And he opened the door. And Brother Aaron said, well, what if he was a Jehovah's Witness? What would you have done? I said, I don't know. So we finished up our soul winning on that soul winning street. My wife and Mrs. Aaron was on the other side of the street, working the other side of the street. Me and Brother Aaron was on the opposite side of the street, and we were working at knocking doors. And so I saw this lady get in her car. And I went up to her and I said, hey, look, I'm Pastor Wells, Parkside Baptist Church. I want to invite you to church. And she said, I'm a Jehovah's Witness. And I said, really? I said, don't worry, we will not hold that against you. We want to try and reach and help everybody. And you're part of everybody. So we're not going to hold that against you. Don't worry about that. We'll be able to help you no matter who you are. And no matter what your background is. But I'm not going to be somebody that, I am not going to cow down with what this Bible teaches. I believe this. Let me tell you why I believe that Parkside Baptist Church has a great future. Number one, because I've already seen a great past. Number two, because I see what God is doing in the present. I see the growth. I see families' lives being changed. I see that people are coming and their teenagers and their children are making great decisions for God. I see that adults are making great decisions for God. And here's what I see. I see there's a hunger. And our church, as the church services grow numerically, it's not just the numbers that I'm seeing. Dr. Smell, here's what I'm seeing. I'm seeing there's a thirst that's growing. There's a hunger that's growing. Talking to a dear lady the other day, and she said, preacher, all I want to do is do right. That's all I want to do. She said, I don't know what right is. That's how come I'm coming to church. Hey, there's a great hunger. Now, it would be wrong for me to get up and to be somebody that would, hey, look, if the word be true, then let's preach the word. If the word be right, let's give the word. And Sunday school teachers, you do your job. Those that are preachers, you do your job. But let's be people that does not line up with Satan in that act of deception. Understand that he wants to deceive. Statement number one. Statement number two. He wants to give a diversion in your life. Now, if he cannot deceive you and get you holy, here's what he wants to do. He wants to divert you. Now, he might not can get you completely, but he can get you off track for a little while. Here's what the Bible says. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 through verse 17. The Bible says, love not the world, neither things are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. Now listen to what it says about the world system. He says, the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. Listen, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. So here's what he says. He says, for that person that stays, you know, I've been preaching for over 30 years. Mrs. Wells and I this week will celebrate 29 years of marriage. And Brother Davis, Mrs. Davis, I'm so proud of you. All those many, what a testimony to every young couple that's in this place. What a testimony. But, you know, as we take and we celebrate time together, one thing that has kept us on track is we just stayed. Other marriages quake and say, well, it's just not working. We made it work. We live in a day where people are so emotionally lined. Well, I'm not going to go back to that church because they hurt my feelings. And then they get out of church. And they never go back. I was visiting, I think week before last, I had Stephen Bryant was my soul winning partner on a Saturday morning. And we were out visiting, we were knocking doors and met a dear lady. And she said, I will never go to the Baptist church. If there's a funeral in the Baptist church, I will never go to the Baptist church. And I said, why? She said, because there was a day when I got hurt in the Baptist church. I said, ma'am, you have to treat churches like Walmart. You know, if you get hurt in one Walmart, that doesn't mean that you put an X over all the Walmarts in your life. Because all Walmarts are different. You may check out and there may be a rude lady or man working at the cashier line. If they say something mean to you, that doesn't mean that the next person in the next line is going to be mean to you. You realize the church is made up of many different personalities? You realize there's some people in here that all you do when I preach and I say a funny, you laugh. Other people don't have to get a funny, they just laugh all the time. Other people walking down the hallway are pretty stone-faced and you don't know if they're happy, you don't know if they're sad, or you don't know if they're mad. You have not a clue because they have not trained their face yet. Abraham Lincoln was interviewing a guy for his cabinet. He was over 40 years of age. And everybody that was a part of his cabinet said, get him, he's good. Boy, he'll help us. Abraham Lincoln interviewed him. He was over 40 years of age. And Abraham Lincoln said, I don't want him. And the guy said, well, why don't you want him? He said, because I don't trust his face. Yeah, but he's got good character. He said, a man over 40 years of age by now should be able to train his face. And if he's not able to train his face, he's got poor character qualities. He said, so I don't want him because if I can't trust his face, I can't trust his heart. Hello? I'm saying this. There's some diversion. Years ago, back in the 1800s in Manchester, England, there was a man that went to a doctor. He was very depressed. He went to the doctor and he said, look, he said, I'm depressed. I don't know what to do. The doctor said, you need diversions in your life. He said, but I'm telling you, I'm just ultra depressed. I don't know what to do. He said, look, I've got an idea. There's a circus in town. There's a guy by the name of Grimaldi that's down there. Grimaldi back then over in the London, England area was one of the funniest clowns that existed in the traveling circus. And so he said, I want you to go down. I want you to see Mr. Grimaldi because Mr. Grimaldi's got it all together. He said, he is the funniest clown in all the world. He said, you got to go down and see him because you're sad and you're downcast and you're discouraged and you're depressed and it doesn't look like you're going to make it. Go down and see Mr. Grimaldi and he'll be the one that will give you joy inside of your heart. He said, there's one problem with that. He said, what's the problem? He said, I'm Mr. Grimaldi. You see, we can look for these outward type of things that would give us joy. But where the true joy comes from is not from without. Where the true joy comes is from within in Jesus Christ. That's why we try to get people to fall in love with God. We try and get people to fall in love with the Bible. We try and look, there's only one person that can give you joy, and that's Jesus Christ. Your friends will leave you. Your friends will let you down. Relationships will come and go. Money will be there. Money will not be there. Good times will come and good times will leave. But I'm telling you, the word of God abideth forever. God said, I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. Listen to me. He said, I am the Lord thy God. I change not. We have to understand that the devil, what he would try to do is he would try to deceive you over the summer. The devil would try to give you diversions to get you off track, to get you away from God, to help you to have joy and help you to have fun in other things other than God himself. The devil would try to do this. He'll try and cause doubt in your life. Luke chapter 24, verse 38, the Bible says, and he said unto them, why art thou troubled? He says, why do thoughts arise in your heart? Now, this is what he says here, Matthew chapter 14, verse 31. The Bible says, immediately Jesus stretched out his hand. Here's what's happening, okay? And so here's the story, if you would please, about that which is Peter. Peter's stepping out, if you would please. He's getting ready to walk. All right, and now he begins to sink, and he said, well, wherefore didst thou doubt? Why did you doubt? Well, what was it caused that doubt? All right, oh, ye of little faith. All right, now why did that take place? Why did that? Simply because he took his eyes off the one Whether you agree with Peter getting out of the boat, walking on the water or not, is immaterial. We do know one thing. He took his eyes off the one that could keep him lifted. Get it? That could keep him lifted. Here's the problem. The problem is when we take our eyes off the only one that can keep us lifted, then you wind up sinking down into your circumstances. Peter was sinking down into what he should have been walking on. Years ago, there was a man that lived here in Texas, and you may remember Mr. Yates, the Yates story. He was during the Great Depression, and Mr. Yates had some sheep, and he was having trouble. He was in danger of losing his ranch, and so he lived in West Texas, the West Texas hills, and had those sheep, and every day he'd go out there. And Mr. Gates couldn't believe it. He's about to lose his ranch. He's about to lose everything, heading into poverty. Didn't know what to do. Then all of a sudden, somebody showed up one day, and it was what they call a seismographic crew that came. And they said, "We have a suspicion that you have oil underneath your land." Now, you have to understand that Mr. Yates was walking all over that land for years. He was out there and he was agonizing in his heart. "I'm going to lose the sheep. I'm going to lose my ranch." Agonizing as he walked over the land, back and forth, over the land, back and forth. Just frustrated in heart, empty of soul, agonizing through states of depression. And here he is walking all over the land. And these seismographic crew that shows up says, we have a suspicion that you have some oil beneath your soil. And we need you to sign a lease giving us permission to be able to drill." They went down 1,115 feet. When they did, they struck a huge oil reserve. They were able to pump out 80,000 barrels of oil a day. A day. They pumped it for the next 30 years. The largest oil reserve that they hit on his property, they were able to pump out 125,000 barrels of oil a day in just one of the oil wells. Now he could walk across his land. By the way, those minerals were always there. That oil was always... And that's where we are. You see Christians walking down the hallway and, boy, they got this dumpy look on their face. I call it poochie lip disease. Their bottom lip is sagging out between their two big toes and they keep tripping. Poochie lip disease. You know, and there is no joy. There is no happiness. There is no fulfillment. They're not walking on the problems. They're walking underneath the problems. Their circumstances has made them circumstantial. Now they find themselves depressed and lonely. Now they find themselves ready to give up. Mr. Yates walking all across that land. "I'm going to lose my fretting. I'm going to lose my sheep fretting. I'm going to lose my farm fretting." When he was walking on the stuff that was going to, and I'm telling you, hey, you get in your Bible, you read your Bible, you be faithful to church, you let God help you. And I'm telling you this morning that you have as much potential to be able to overcome the problems in your life as a Mr. Gates did. Somebody says we spend too much time sitting on the premises instead of standing on the promises. May I say, some of Satan's devices is deception, is diversion, is doubt. How about this one? I'm almost done. Discouragement. Here's the children of Israel, Numbers chapter 21, verse 4. The Bible says, you said, "Preacher, you sound like you believe that coming to church is going to solve all problems." I didn't say that, but I do believe this. It'll solve more of your problems than you laying out of church. Well, you seem to present it that, boy, if we'll come Sunday morning and Sunday night, Wednesday night, everything could be okay. I'm not saying that, but it'd be better than what you're doing right now. Yes, see, here's what the Bible says. Numbers chapter 21 and verse 4. The Bible says, "And they journeyed from Mount Hor," it says, "the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom. The Bible says the soul of the people was much discouraged, listen to it, because of the way. Now, why were they discouraged? Because of the way. Why were they getting down? Because of the way. All right, listen to this. Look at verse 5. The Bible says, and the people spake against God and against Moses. Whoo! You mean you can get so discouraged that you speak against your pastor and God himself? Where you become the critic of God and the critic of the man of God? You can get that discouraged? Sure you can. He says, and the people spake against God and against Moses. Says, wherefore have ye brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? How in the world could you do such a thing? Why would you bring us out here and look at what we have? We are forsaken. Hey, they were discouraged. I love the story of two preachers. They were standing by the roadside. Two preachers held up a sign. And the sign read this: the end is near. Turn around before it's too late. They were holding up the sign right beside the roadside. The end is near. Turn around before it's too late. Some guys drove by and they said, those religious nuts. Started yelling at them and shaking their finger at them and cursing them out. You bunch of religious nuts. After a little bit, the preachers heard the splash. One preacher said to the other, I wonder if we should have just shouted the bridges out. Discouragement. Sometimes somebody might be holding up a sign and you're reading it one way when they went to present the sign the other way. Have you ever noticed this, that negative people always see things in a negative light? Have you always noticed this? Critical people always view things in a critical light? By the way, if it's a critic that's judging you, let me help you. No matter what you do, they will be your critic. You turn the light switch on, they'll criticize it. You turn the light switch off, they'll criticize it. You know, people that come to church that look for things to rejoice about, they're going to rejoice no matter what happens. Light switch is on. Oh, praise God. Somebody turn the lights on. Light switch is off. Oh, praise God. It's dark. Hello? Wait a minute. Let me give it to you. Satan's summer devices. There's deception, diversion, doubt, discouragement. Let me give you this. I'm done. You ready? Last one. Delay. Delay. And by the way, that's what it's all about. Because if he can't get you, he wants to delay you. It would be far better for you to delay your obedience to God than to obey your obedience to God. Mm-hmm. It would be far better for you to put it off and put it off and put it off and put it off. Daniel, can I tell about you? Do you mind? Daniel Juarez got saved day before yesterday. Getting baptized tonight still? I'm putting you on the spot. Right. Getting baptized tonight. Now watch this, okay? For a long time, he'd been dealing with some things in his heart. Now wait a minute, it took time. All right, but when the light came on, he moved. Boom. Now when that light comes on in your life, are you listening to me? You better move. When all of a sudden God shows you something, God says, hey, wait a minute, look, you need to do this. Don't do this. Please, I beg you, don't do this. Well, I tell you, I'll just put it off for a little while. You don't have a little while. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Well, I tell you what, I'm going to get serious about God when I turn 45. You're probably going to die when you're 43 and 9 months. Yeah. Well, I'm going to take and start serving God and put him first. When I retire, you may not make it to retirement. Well, I'm going to give God my energy when I'm 42. So why are you hitting all those 40s? I don't know. Probably because that's where Brother Palmore is. Are you 40 yet? Oh, wow, you're not there. Okay, delays. Acts chapter 24, verse 25, here's what it says. The Bible says, and as he reasoned, it says, of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come. Felix trembled and answered, go thy way for this time, go thy way for this time. He says, when I have a convenient season, I'll call for thee. You know what he's doing? Here's what he's doing. He said, I know what the will of God is, but I'm telling you, I don't want it right now. You're making a lot of sense to me, but I don't want it right now. You're the person that says, hey, look, man, do it now. But I'm telling you, it's not a convenient time for me. How many times have we heard that? Well, I'd come to church on Sunday night. But I just want to be honest with you. It's just not convenient. Well, now you're quiet. I would duck behind the pulpit, but my back hurts. Well, I'll be faithful in serving God on Wednesday night. But right now, come on, preacher, get off my back. Just not convenient right now. Well, I would pass out, I'd be willing to go and pass out a gospel tract. I'd be willing to do that. I'd be willing to go up there and give somebody a gospel tract. But you know, it's just not convenient right now. You know, sometimes the things that are not convenient is best for you. It's not convenient you brush your teeth in the morning, but we thank God you did. It's not convenient that some of you wore deodorant this morning. We thank God you did. We wish the other person would have too. Look, delay. 1871, you know the story. You've heard it from this pulpit many times. Chicago Fire breaks out. In the Chicago Fire, it is recorded that over 300 people lost their lives. Moody was holding a revival service, right? You're a historian. Moody was holding the revival service in the Chicago city. Here's what he did. He preached, did not give an invitation. I don't know if it was two or three nights. You ask Brother Wislowski, he knows. But he preached two or three nights, didn't give an invitation, and he thought, you know, conviction was going to build. Going to get a better reaping, if you will, as conviction builds. Only problem. He did not realize the Chicago Fire was going to take place. Out of the 300 that died, I have no idea how many of those heard the gospel, but did not have an opportunity to respond. Now, I'm not mad at people, but every time we preach, even tonight, there's going to be an invitation. I hold a Wednesday night Bible study. I give an invitation. You know why I do that? Because there needs to be an opportunity for people to be able to respond. Brother Passon asked me to speak at his mom's gravesite. I spoke at the mom's gravesite, and I gave an invitation. You know, every time I get up to be, you know why? Because you don't know when somebody's going to come and they're going to bring their friend and they're going to say, you don't have to worry about this ever happening by God's grace at Parkside Baptist Church. Well, when we have a preaching service, there's always going to be an invitation. You don't have to worry, well, what if I bring my friend? I wonder if pastor's going to give an invitation for them to get saved. Yes. Yes. Because you don't know when they're going to have the opportunity to come again. Look, I'm saying this. Here's what you see. Delay. 1871, Chicago Fire. 300 people died in the fire. 100,000 of them were homeless. There was a wealthy man that lived in the city. His name was Horatio Spafford. Horatio Spafford was one of the best friends of D.L. Moody. They partnered together, and they just had a great life together. Horatio Spafford was a lawyer that was in Chicago, and he had a burden for these people that lost their homes. And he said, I'm going to spend the next 2 years of my life helping those that have lost their homes that did not have insurance to rebuild their homes. He was a giving man, and so he had a burden for those that lived in Chicago. So for 2 years, he helped those that lived in the Chicagoland area to rebuild their homes. And Moody was preaching over across the sea. And he told Moody, he said, why don't we do this? He said, I'll join you in your crusade. And he said, after you get done your crusade, let's travel Europe together. Let's take a cruise. You deserve some downtime. I deserve some downtime. I'll take my family. My family will travel to Europe. And I'll meet you there. And we'll travel together. We'll take a cruise together. We'll spend some time together. Moody had been over there preaching for some time. Horatio had lost his son. I don't know if it was in the fire, but around that same time, lost his son. He had one son, four daughters, and lost his son about that very same time of the fire. So he's grieving. He told his wife, look, why don't you take the daughters and go across to Europe? Get on a ship, go across to Europe. I'll join you there. It wasn't too long in the voyage when all of a sudden that ship collided with another ship from England. And within 20 minutes, it sank. He lost all four of his daughters. The only one that was left was his wife, Anna. And Anna sent back a note that said, 47 survivors, I'm the only one. He knew at that time he lost his four daughters. He boarded an ocean liner as quick as he could, wanted to get beside his dear wife, and on the way somewhere between leaving and arriving there in Europe, he wrote the song, It Is Well With My Soul. Moody met his friend down there at the harbor. They were good friends. Moody went up to him and grabbed him, gave him a hug, and he said, I'm so sorry. Horatio looked at him and he said, Mr. Moody, we have traveled together for many years. And he said, it is well with my soul. It's in your hymn book today. If you'll look and have his name that bears it, it is well with my soul. I don't know about you, what you're going to face over the summertime, but I'll tell you, you got a pastor that just downright loves you. And I don't want to see you go through some summer time blues. I love seeing you on Sunday morning. It's an honor to shake your hand as you leave the service. It's an honor to see God doing a work in your heart. And I'm seeing that you're becoming more connected here with the church. Some of you have just started coming to Sunday night services. Some of you are starting to embrace those Wednesday night Bible studies. And our church is growing together, not just numerically, but we're growing as a family. And I don't want to see the summer devices of Satan destroy you and to get you off track. I hope you'd be able to say with Horatio that by the end of the summer, it is well with my soul.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at pbcmesquite.org.